Bibb County Prevention Coalition podcast, dedicated to bringing educational information to prevent substance abuse and help individuals achieve a healthy well-being.
Hello, my name is Tina Bradley, and you're listening to the Wood County Prevention Coalition podcast. I am the coordinator for the Drug Free Communities Grant, as well as the coalition in Wood County, Ohio. Today's subject is Wood County Prevention Coalition, a chat with our coalition's parent, mentor, sector leader. For those who don't know us yet, I'll read our mission. We are a coalition of compassionate community members working together to coordinate high-quality programs for the prevention of youth substance abuse in Wood County. Our vision is helping youth be drug-free, responsible, and productive citizens. And our tagline is uniting for a drug-free Wood County. Since 2004. Today, I'm joined by Kyle Clark, our director, and Shanna Gerken, our Wood County Educational Service Center parent mentor. She also serves as a parent sector leader for our coalition. Welcome, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you for joining us. Shanna, before we discuss your work with the coalition, could you please apprise our listeners about Wood County's parent mentor project?
Yes, I would love to. The Parent Mentor Project has been around for about 30 years in Ohio, and I serve a Wood County school, so that's about 10 different school districts within Wood County, and I just help parents through the special education process. So if they ever have any questions or concerns, I'm able to help walk through that process with them. I can also attend meetings with them with the schools if they just need that extra support in those meetings. I also provide resources to parents, so if parents need have questions with therapists or different schools, I can help with all resources in regards to disability within the county.
And you know, what's interesting too, not only are you the parent mentor and the parent sector leader here in Wood County, you're a parent that has children in the school system.
Yes,
correct?
Yes, I do. I still have one already graduated outside of the school, and then I still have two more kids in the school district.
And I believe you had said one of your children actually, had you not have been the parent mentor, would be eligible to have received the same services, correct?
Yes, in order to be a parent mentor, you also have to have a child with a disability. And I think one of the reasons is that I'm able to connect with the parents, and I know exactly where the parents are coming from. So
exactly.
I've definitely felt that.
Exactly.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It can be a frightening experience for parents, can it?
Yes, especially when they're younger kids and this is your first time through this journey, and when the schools talk about all these different new words and phrases and you don't understand what any of this means, but then you're also dealing with your child needing these services. So it can be very overwhelming and confusing for the parents, and so that's where I step in and can help them.
And I imagine, you know, they see you as an ally because really you're someone that has a similar experience and you definitely can relate to what they are going through.
Yes, definitely.
I'm sure part of that fear has to do with confusion, maybe with parents coming in, is maybe a little bit of trust with the school. Do you ever find that to be the case where they don't know, why are they doing this to my son or daughter?
So a lot of the parents that do reach out to me, they don't have that trust with the school because they don't understand the process or the words that they're using. So that's where I step in and, you know, and help build that trust with the school, with the parents.
And, you know, before we move forward, Kyle, could you please explain to our listeners what a sector leader is? Because Shanna is our parent sector leader, and why we utilize them as part of our coalition work.
Well, the Drug-Free Community Grant, Tina, as you know, is a community-based coalition. And as part of that, we are required to have an advisory board, and they call it sector leader advisory board, and it's made up of a cross section of our community. So on it we have youth that are actually on it, and I think our youth person right now is actually a BGSU student. But we have parents represented, business people represented, media, school, youth serving organizations, law enforcement, religious groups, civic volunteer groups, healthcare. They're all part of our sector leader. Bottom line is, if we start talking about a program or if we start talking about doing something, somebody may say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't going to cover our section, or this isn't, we're missing something here. And so they're a vital part of our planning and our work that we do and helping us to guide through the Drug-Free Community Grant.
Most definitely. And we've kind of loaded ours up. In addition to having representatives from all 12 of the required sectors, we have three individuals. We call them our executive
leadership. An executive committee.
So when we meet quarterly, it's our sector and executive leadership. We have a president, a vice president, and then we have a secretary.
Right.
And so it kind of helps double up. They're all from areas that would have qualified as one of these sectors as well. I think here in Wood County, we've got an excellent slate of individuals that come together, gather together, talk about coordinating programs and resources,
right.
Ideas on actions that can be taken. Anytime we need assistance, we just pick up the phone and we ask someone, as we did really, although I think I just walked over your way,
yep.
And just asked if you would be willing to help us get the word out about yep. your role here. Shanna, you've been our parent sector leader for over a year now. Can you provide us with some insights on how you've been involved with the coalition?
Yep, so I've been involved last year. I started with prescription drug lockboxes. And I would help distribute those within the communities. Every time I would meet a parent or I would give presentations about my program, I would ask if anyone would be interested in these drug lock boxes. And a lot of these parents didn't even really think about it until I brought it up. And they said, you know what, I do have prescription drugs, or I think it would be a good idea now that I have a teenager to lock them up. And I even had one mom, her kid was going off to a BGSU and he took prescription drugs. And she goes, you know what, I should probably have him bring that to school to lock up his prescription drugs so other kids don't have access to it.
Oh, that's an excellent, excellent idea, because that's often how they get the drugs mm-hmm. get into the hands of the people that they're not supposed to, is someone is visiting or
exactly.
shares a room or something. Yep. Somebody comes to stay overnight at a friend's house and somehow has access. So that's excellent. And we see you, of course, at most all of our sectors.
Yeah, most of them, yes.
In executive leadership meetings and mm-hmm. then our meetings as a whole. You're part of the team. Of course, today's podcast, and I believe we have on the horizon, we're going to receive more of these drug lock boxes. Is that
yes,
correct?
We are. We're sending a match your way,
yay.
Tina.
Okay.
Our prevention
exciting.
Program.
Much needed.
Boxes, and yeah. you can use those anywhere within Wood County.
Awesome,
I think
perfect.
We ordered quite a bundle, didn't we? Around 200?
I think I had received a quote for 200. I wasn't sure where that was, if the order had been placed or not, but I passed the quote along and the information mm-hmm. on the vendor, so I'm sure it's happening soon.
Yeah.
So I'll be back in touch in regard to that for sure. Kyle, can you tell our listeners the importance of the program that Shanna referenced, last winter's prescription drug box program?
Yeah, the whole idea came about as we did our last survey. We noticed there was a slight increase, a little bit of an uptick in our narcotic pain killer usage, and that concerned us, and we started asking ourselves those questions. Why? Why is that? What's going on? Well, as we've done a much, much better job of educating the public about heroin and other opioids, kids are finding that they can, or people are finding that they can get these painkillers that people have on their medicine cabinets at home, and they can get the same effect, even though it hasn't been prescribed for them, so it affects their body differently than it does for somebody who's been prescribed that pill. And so we realized that, and talking with students again, found that, they're just going into houses, friends, family, grandpa and grandma, taking one or two pills here and there, nobody will notice, and they're using them. And so we came up with this idea of trying to educate the public to lock them up. And from there, we identified a pocket of money. And we went out and bought some lock boxes. You bought them with drug-free money at first. We're going to purchase another set through the Prevention Fund.
Yes, and, we had the Bowling Green Community Foundation.
Community Foundation,
and
that's
then
right.
We also did, you are correct, Kyle, we also did buy a few more DFC funds because
yes.
we had some of the local hospice providers reach out to us. They caught wind of the fact that we had some.
Yeah, but the Bowling Green Community Foundation got us started. That was our first. That was our first step.
They did. So we were locked into only assisting households here in Bowling Green. But then when that project ended and we bought a few additional, I don't know if it was 50. I think it was 50 additional boxes. That first round was close to 200. Then we got about 50 additional boxes and we utilized them throughout the county. And like I said, it was hospice providers that were, I think certainly they'd be good for any agency that mm-hmm. has individuals there because we
right.
most of us do have a prescription drug
yeah.
or two in our household
right.
at some point during the year, and we have people coming in and out of the household. One thing I learned from the Wood County Addiction Response Collaborative, I've been going out with them and doing some of these safe drug disposal mm-hmm. programs, is the youth first get a hold of these drugs
yep.
by accident, some not really accident, but you know, by circumstance of them having access, and then they decide, gee, this works, I like it, but then their source runs out somehow. And then they go to the street and or they hear of someone who has a source of pills, and now with the pressed and fake pills that are out there, 60% of what's out on the street could contain fentanyl.
Yeah, it's really
and
scary.
So that is deadly, often deadly. These lock boxes help prevent a whole myriad of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another trend popping up around that's been around, but it keeps popping up. And that's a slang term that's used as a Skittle party. I don't know, Shannon, if you've
I've never heard of that.
And, of course, we all know what Skittles, the candy. So the same kind of a varying, what are you getting, color and flavor and all this good stuff. Kids will raid their cabinets, their parents' cabinets, or wherever they're getting these things, come to a party and throw them all in a bowl. And then everybody
wow.
just pops something. They don't even
wow.
know what they're taking.
Wow.
So that's a new trend.
Super frightening.
Yes.
Super frightening.
Very scary.
Yes.
And so even more reason why we've got to lock these things up.
Exactly.
Because it starts with
these
right.
sorts of issues, instances where someone happens onto these pills and experiments. So definitely. Any closing thoughts from either of you today?
Well, I would certainly want to say that being a longtime school administrator, Shanna, what you do is so very, very important to yeah. our families, because I think there are many, many times when we as professionals don't always accept, when we're in these meetings with these
yep.
parents and we are just throwing all this jargon back and forth,
yep.
and they look confused, they
mm-hmm.
look nervous, they look worried.
It's because they are.
they look scared.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the work that you do is just fantastic, because without that, it would be up to someone at the school to try to
yep.
explain, if they even recognize
yep.
that there is a concern or a fear that these parents
yep.
have. That's not the intent. The intent has always been, we want to help kids.
Yep, yep, I know that.
But they certainly do have fears and questions and issues that they feel better getting answered from someone who's been through it.
Yes, they do. And from like a third-party person. So they, for some, they, you know, they feel more trusted with me. And
well, you have relevant experience
yeah.
too. So
mm-hmm.
again, you're an advocate and an ally.
Yes.
So it's much easier to trust someone who understands.
Who's been there.
Yes,
yes,
definitely. Well, our time is drawn to a close. Next time, we will be back to discuss yet another prevention-related topic. In the meantime, check us out online at www.prevention.org. You can link into our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram pages, all right there at our website. We hope you will follow us and support us in that way. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Tina and Kyle, for having me today.
Take care.
This podcast is intended for educational purposes only. Those views expressed on the podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the Wood County Educational Service Center or the Wood County Prevention Coalition.